Blog Talk Radio.
Fiona? I'm not hearing you. Yes, but I'm not hearing you, which means none of the audience is hearing you. Yes, hang up and call back. So we've been having some problems with the phone this evening, and hopefully we will have Fiona on in a few moments. But while we're waiting for her to get on, I will introduce the show. Hi, this is Alden Hines of Orient Lodge. That's orient-lodge.com. And Fiona?
Yes?
We can hear you now. So, and you are listening to?
Another episode of Fiona's radio show.
Just about every Sunday evening at 6:30 Eastern United States time, Fiona and I host this radio show to discuss the events of the week. It provides some quality father-daughter time and is building up a large library of recordings of the two of us talking together. Sometimes we have special guests call in. Sometimes it's just the two of us talking. Do we have any guests lined up for today?
Not that I know of.
Yep, well, we don't have anyone planned, but we always do end up having unexpected guests at times, so I will be keeping my eyes open for that. So before we get into the show, I'd like to remind all parents to spend more time talking with your kids and perhaps recording some of the discussions for posterity or, doing as we do, sharing them on Blog Talk Radio. We've been doing this show for, I think, around 7 years now, so there's an awful lot of recordings of Fiona and I talking together that we can go back to. So, Fiona, what's been going on this week?
Testing.
You're coming through okay.
Testing.
Yeah, I can still hear you.
All right, good. Yeah.
Testing.
Testing.
Right, the SBAC tests. Okay. Now, was it this week? Was it this week and last week? When
this
did they start? Okay. So it's basically over the past 2 weeks you've been doing them.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And what can you say about the SBAC tests?
They're horrible. I hate them.
Okay. And what makes them horrible?
It gives me such a huge headache.
That was a little bit garbled. You're not eating at the same time as you're doing the show, are you?
No.
Okay, because it kind of sounded like you were. Okay, so why are they horrible?
Because it gives me huge headaches.
They give you huge headaches, okay. And why do you think they give you huge headaches?
Because it's staring at a bright screen for a couple hours without looking away.
Okay. And so that's actually one of the big issues that we talked about. And did you get to look away during the final day of testing?
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened with all of that?
It made me not have such a huge headache.
Okay. And how is it that you could look away on that last day but not the other days?
Because you got me a note that said that I had to follow the 20-20-20 rule.
Okay. Can you explain to people what the 20-20-20 rule is?
If you're serious, then you should look away, pay every 20 minutes, look at something, hang that's at least 20 feet away from you for 20 seconds, at least.
Okay. Okay. And is that for when you're doing tests?
It's an all-around rule for screen time.
Okay. Okay. So with that, I wonder, do you stay with that rule for some of your other screen time?
I actually do, because I'm really gonna headache if I watch Netflix like straight and look away. Normally I like to get up and get a snack or a drink of water.
Okay. You know, you're still really garbled for some reason. I'm not sure what it is today. But so you do generally look away at least every 20 minutes for 20 seconds at something at least 20 feet in the distance when you're having your normal screen time.
Yes.
So let me ask you another question. Is did the teachers, or we may call them proctors, end up telling students to do that?
No.
Do you think they should?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that that's a really important lesson that perhaps people should be getting from any of the newer standardized tests that you do on a computer, is that you need to look away every 20 minutes. And especially for people who don't do a lot of screen time or aren't aware of that, that the proctors really should remind people taking the test to do that. You want to know another reason why I think it's important to do that, Fiona?
Why?
I believe that if you look up, look out the window, rest your eyes, maybe even rest your brain for 20 seconds, you're going to think clearer. And as a result, you're going to do better on the tests.
Yeah.
Right? You ever think of it, right? You're working on some homework, and the homework is challenging. And what do?
I stop for a little while to put my thoughts.
Yeah, you stop. Exactly. You know, that looking up from the screen is part of collecting thoughts and is really important. So, okay, so there's that lesson from the SBACs. Anything else from the SBACs that come to mind?
Gosh, I don't like the way they're set up. They're annoying.
Okay, so when you say you don't like the way they're set up, how are they set up, and what is it about how they're set up you don't like?
I mean, the questions aren't worded well. I've done SBAC prep with my teachers, and they're like, I don't even know what to think of this.
So let me ask you a question about that, okay? Because it came up in a conversation I was recently in. Were the questions on the tests as confusing, obtuse, as they were in the test prep?
I kind of varied.
Okay. Because, you know, I hadn't really heard you talking about that so much, and I was wondering if some of it may be not the SBAC tests themselves as the preparation questions.
I think it's probably both.
Okay. How well do you think the preparation questions helped you prepare for the tests?
A little bit, I guess.
Do you think spending time on the SBAC test preparation was a good use of time?
No.
Okay. That sounded fairly unequivocal.
I mean, it's just there's so much more that we could have learned to prepare us more for the SBAC. Not just re-going over stuff we already know.
Okay. Now, one of the things, another thing that I found interesting is that I have been told that the SBAC tests are supposed to be adaptive, meaning that based on your answers to the first questions, they will give you, you know, harder questions if you do really well on the questions, or easier questions if you have problems with the questions. Overall, how hard did the SBAC seem?
I thought they were kind of pretty easy just because, well, the math was, like, I was able, like, a lot of the stuff I didn't know, but it was really easy to figure out.
Okay. So it was easy to figure out. It was fairly easy. So do you think they adjusted the questions so that you had harder questions because they seemed easy to figure out? Or do you think that your questions were pretty much similar to what other people had?
I'm not really sure.
You know, it's an interesting thing because that was my understanding, but in the discussions I've been having, I'm told that the adaptive nature really is pretty weak and it doesn't adapt as well as it should.
Yeah. I mean, the English one was so easy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And what? Any other thoughts, comments on the ESPEC test?
I think we should take CMT. You're not a spec.
Okay. So let me ask another question on that. The CMTs have been around for a long time. Do you think some of it might be that they've worked all the bugs out of the CMTs, but they haven't worked the bugs out of the SBACs yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's just what I don't like it about it. It's like, that's not how we learn. Like, the SBACs. Just that's not how we learn to do stuff. But the CMTs, like, that's how we were taught. We were taught to do it this way, and that's how it was on the test, and that made it easy.
So I'm wondering, and this is just sort of thinking off the top of my head, do you think that kids starting school now who grow up with the SBACs will find the SBACs a more reasonable test to take than people who have had the tests change on them partway through?
Probably.
Okay. If there were changes to the SBAC test, are there things that you would suggest would make the SBAC test better?
Make it so, like, there's less pressure on the teachers. Because the teachers were, like, constantly yelling at us that, like, we weren't doing good enough.
So why would there be pressure on the teachers with the SBAC test?
The SBAC is judging, like, how well they have taught us stuff.
I thought the SBAC tests were supposed to be judging how much you know.
I thought it was also judging the teachers.
So with that, is there sort of like an inherent conflict there?
I think so.
Yeah. How do you think people should resolve that inherent conflict with the SBAC tests of either they're designed to test the teachers or designed to test the students?
I think they could go either way.
Okay.
It could really be one or the other.
Okay. Now it's easy to take the argument saying that, well, how much a student knows really reflects how well the teacher did. Do you think that kind of breaks down that argument?
Yeah, but it kind of depends. Like, if one or two kids did bad, that's not specifically on the teacher. That's mostly on the kids. But if, like, a bunch of people failed in a certain subject, that means the teacher failed.
So let me ask you this for a question then. The days that you had the SBACs, had you eaten well the day before and the day of the tests?
No.
No? Why not?
Because I don't eat breakfast ever. No one ever does.
Well, I wasn't, that's why I said the day before as well, because I'm not talking just about breakfast.
Well, the day before, I guess.
Yeah, so you had, like, a reasonable dinner the night before, a reasonable lunch at school.
I don't really eat a lot of lunch at school.
But you weren't worried about having enough food, right?
Yes.
Okay. We may want to talk on a separate show about your eating habits. But so you weren't worried about food, and you got as much sleep as you wanted?
No.
No? Why not?
Because I have to get up super early to go to school.
Okay. So there's another issue that we may want to explore of just what time school starts. But, you know, I'm thinking about what happens if you, say, live in a neighborhood where you and all of your friends have problems getting enough food, and you have problems getting enough sleep because of, you know, maybe a fight going on in the room next to yours, or just the noise of living in the city or stuff like that.
That would not be good.
Yeah. So, and what happens if, you know, say you're a teacher and your class has a lot of students like that? Do you think the aspects would reflect how well the teacher teaches?
I would think it would reflect a little bit of both. Because I think a teacher should notice if a bunch of their kids aren't doing super good, they need to notice and take an interest.
Right. But, you know, if what the kid needs is access to better food, better living conditions, that's not really something a teacher can do an awful lot about, right?
No. That's why it kind of varies.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that, you know, how well a person does on a test may not always be reflective of how good the teacher's doing, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. Any other things we want to talk about the ESPAC tests?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. Well, are there other things that went on this past week that are worth noting?
We went to the movies Friday after the week of testing.
Okay, and what did you see?
McFarland, the USA.
Okay, and how was it?
Boring. I fell asleep.
You know, it seems like boring is a big part of your vocabulary these days, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you found McFarland boring. What was it about?
It was about, like, this small town that was really, really poor. And then, like, this one coach comes and inspires everyone. And they, like, creates a running team and takes the team all the way to the state. And then they obviously win because, like, it's just cliched.
Ah, so that's interesting. So it's not only that it's boring, but that it was all a bit of a cliche?
Yeah.
Okay. Other stuff about McFarland?
Like this really famous old actor, isn't it?
Are you talking about Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you know about Kevin Costner?
I don't know. Like he's an old actor that mom likes.
Yeah, so you know how old he is?
Like 50.
Older.
60, 80.
Actually, I think he turned 60 a month or two ago.
Yeah, he's old.
So, yeah, he's even older than I am, right? Can you believe actors who are older than your dad?
And then it's weird just because there weren't any other recognizable actors.
Okay.
Specifically. It's like they were all actors I'd never heard of.
Right. So let me mention a few movies that Kevin Costner was in, and ones that I particularly remember from years ago. One of them was a movie, Bull Durham. And just to sort of put it into context, Bull Durham came out in 1989. Okay? And then there was Field of Dreams, which came out in, Bull Durham came out in 88, and Field of Dreams came out in 89. And both of those were baseball-related films. And the film you saw, McFarland USA, was about what?
Let's read the IMDb description. A cross-country coach in a small California town transforms a team of athletes into championship contenders.
Okay, so So it's about cross-country running. So it's another sports movie. Now, the other one is that you might find interesting to watch is in 1990, he was in the movie Dances with Wolves. Lieutenant John Dunbar, exiled to a remote Western Civil War outpost, befriends wolves and Indians, making him an intolerable aberration in the military. You think a movie about a guy who's befriended wolves and Indians might be an interesting movie?
Maybe.
It actually it's a pretty good movie. And then he was in Waterworld, which was a sort of science fiction movie that you might like. But yeah, that's boy, Field of Dreams 2, Lockout, a short movie. Yeah, so that's a little bit about Kevin Costner. But before we end the show, actually, anything more you want to say about McFarland?
It was okay. I don't really suggest it.
Okay. Now, did you see any other things over the past week?
Not that I can
Not like Friday night.
Oh, Tarzan.
So how was Tarzan?
Tarzan was really good. We saw Tarzan musical at the Amity High School. So we always see their spring musical, and it was amazing, like usual.
So it wasn't like the S-backs or McFarland and boring.
No, it was great.
It was great. Okay. Are there any things you particularly remember from it that made it great?
All around it was good.
Okay. What did you think of, say, the gorillas and their movements?
Was cool.
Yeah. How about any sort of special effects? Were there special effects you thought that were notable?
Well, they were able to get down the floor now, which was cool.
They were able to what?
Get down the flying with all the wires and
Okay,
everything.
right. So they used a trapeze so Tarzan could fly. Did anyone else fly around in the movie or in the play?
Tarzan, the leopard, the different apes.
Okay. And did Jane fly a little bit?
Who?
Jane?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And do you know what a scrim is, Fiona?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, that is a very important word for you to know, concept to know. And so let's see. I'm just pulling up the definition here. Is a scrim is a piece of gauze cloth that appears opaque until lit from behind, used as a computer screen or backdrop. So a scrim is often used in plays. And so you remember, like, at the very beginning, you've got this, like, the picture of the boat, which is sort of on the screen, and you could see Tarzan's parents through that screen with the picture of the boat.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that's the use of a scrim. And that's actually another place where I thought, and it's a thing that I think people may end up sort of missing, but I thought that after the boat sinks and they're swimming and they're using the trapeze, so they're sort of flying in the air and they're behind the scrim, I thought that was really pretty
That
spectacular.
was cool.
Yeah. And did you like the music?
Yeah, it was good. Everybody sang well. It was great.
Do you remember any of the music from it?
The You'll Be in My Heart one.
Right, right. Because that one was fairly popular on the radio for a long time as well. And do you know who wrote the music?
No. Who was it?
It was written by Phil Collins.
Yeah.
And so that name rings a bell?
Yeah.
So just to have a context on it, actually Phil Collins turned 64 about 2 months ago. So he's even older than Kevin Costner. And he actually played with a rock group that I really liked when I was younger called Genesis. And, you know, we should probably listen to some Phil Collins and some Genesis. So are there other things you want to say about Tarzan?
It was just really good. They always do an amazing job with these.
How about the costumes? What did you think of the costumes?
They were really cool.
Okay. Yeah, I thought they were really great, especially the gorilla costumes.
Those
cool. Yeah. Now, one of the other ones is, and here's where we get a little bit, because compared to most high school musicals, you know, there's not an awful lot that competes with Annie, it seems. Except, maybe, previous Amity productions. So here's the thing for you. What did we see last year? You remember?
No.
It was In the Heights.
Oh, that one was amazing.
Okay, so you've used amazing to talk about both of those shows, In the Heights and Tarzan. Which one did you like better?
Oh, that's hard. Maybe In the Heights, just because I really love the story of In the Heights. But Tarzan
okay.
is a classic, so it's hard. But they're both awesome.
Right. So I think I'm with you on that. I liked the storyline of In the Heights better. It didn't have much for special effects, and the costumes weren't as notable. So I think I like Tarzan better for the special effects and costumes. But one of the other things that they did, and it was really last year with In the Heights was the first time that I really noticed it.
The decoration of the hall.
Exactly. And which do you think was better, the decoration of the hall for In the Heights or the decoration of the hall for Tarzan?
I just know it's In the Heights. They really, really decked it out for In the Heights.
Yeah, I thought that was especially good. The decoration of the lobby for Tarzan was good, but I think that In the Heights ended up better.
Yeah.
Okay. Other thoughts for this week's show before we wrap things up?
Not particularly.
Okay. Anything special coming up this week?
Not that I know of.
Well, it is Holy Week, so today was Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter, and we've got Monday, Thursday, Good Friday all coming up. So that'll be a little bit for this coming. Okay, good, good. Okay, well, are there any other things you want to say before wrapping up this week's show?
Not really.
Okay, well, then do you want to take us out?
Thanks, good night. Hopefully listen next week on Tangerine. Thanks and good night.
Thanks and good night.